Hi, everyone. I'm Enrique Santos, and I'm co-hosting the podcast SOS Cuba, alongside my friend and Telemundo journalist, Jose Diaz-Balart. We're discussing the history of our beloved Cuba and what led to the recent protests in the communist-run island. And why people are calling for change. A group of special guests weigh in on what's next for our comunidad cubana. Listen to our weekly show, SOS Cuba, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know there are thousands of active cults in America today?
Political cults, sex cults, acting class cults, terrorist cults.
To name a few. But do you ever wonder, who are the individuals who get manipulated into them? I'm your host, Liz Iacuzzi.
I'm Tyler Meesom. Was I in a Cult is a documentary podcast showcasing the raw, dynamic, and inspiring firsthand stories of individuals who got in.
And most importantly, got out of a cult.
Why are people so obsessed with cults?
Maybe because it could happen to anyone.
And we should know.
Because it happened to us. Listen to Was I in a Cult? Every Wednesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I am Rashawn McDonald, the host of Money Making Conversations podcast. Yes, I speak to celebrity CEOs and industry leaders, and yes, they do tell me the secrets to their success. And I help secure amazing guests on my show because I got relationships, including Tyler Perry, Stephen A. Smith, Lonnie Love, Cedric the Entertainer, Patti LaBelle, Nick Cannon, Angela Yee, and many more. This is Rashawn McDonald. Listen to Money Making Conversations on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you get chemo, and then your hair falls out, and then your body gets healthy again, and it starts to grow back. Mm-hmm. But then they give you chemo again, and then your hair falls out. And so it just keeps happening as long as you're getting chemo.
It's like over-microwaving something. Your hair is just like, what?
It changes form.
Hello and welcome to Bald Talk, the podcast where two bald comedians interview actors, directors, superstars, everyday people, and really anyone bald about being bald. I'm Charlie Sanders, Baldy Extraordinaire.
And I am Brian Husky, captain of Marvelous Baldnessness.
And Brian, our guest today is not bald.
Oh, now. Hold on. I'm out. I'm not going to do the show.
What? Today. You're not going
to
do it?
Nope. I will. This is an affront to our
bald
listeners.
Well, we did Hubel. He wasn't bald.
Yeah, that's true. But we don't know. Are we revealing something in doing that? Because we never know how these are going to
release. Oh, yeah. It might not even come out yet.
We might have been Rob Huberman.
Maybe in the future we're doing Rob Huberman. Yeah, maybe. We don't know. Our guest is not bald now, but she was bald for 8 months in high school. The best time to be bald.
Totally.
She has a degree in French and psychology from Georgetown University. She was an actor in New York City and L.A. for 10 years. Now she lives in North Carolina and scratches her acting itch by coaching her husband for his auditions. She loves working out, bakes a killer loaf of bread. But most importantly, she was friends and roommates with my now wife, Camille, when we first met. And our first date was to her birthday party. Oh. It's Lauren Spagnoletti.
Hello.
Lauren!
Hey! Hello, guys. Thanks for
coming on Bald Talk.
Why didn't you? Yeah. You sort of listed her as matchmaker.
A matchmaker.
Although yeah. I had nothing to do with it, but yeah, my first time I met Charlie was at my 30th birthday party.
Yeah, oh, wow. That's right. Me and Camille, I asked Camille out. It was very LA-ish. I asked her out, and then it was like almost impossible for us to schedule a time to go on a date because I was a bum comedian that did everything at night, and she was working at Universal in the business department, so she had like a real person day job. And then eventually we did like three back and forths of like, how about this day or how about that day? And then she was finally like, just come to my roommate's birthday party.
Oh man.
That's where we went. It was fun.
That's a big big roll of the dice to just like throw yourself into the middle of like her friend group for the first date.
I'm a bold person.
Yeah.
Just jumped right
in. It worked out well.
It worked totally. Out very well.
Totally.
All right, Lauren, so you were bald in high school.
I was. Like, I became bald the month I turned 17.
Oh my God.
Wow, that's really,
really, really helpful for teenage social life.
God. Well, but the circumstances, please tell the circumstances, because that. I mean, that is definitely right.
Wake up one day. As I imagine it is for you guys, you just kind of wake up and...
You wake up, yeah, in a puddle of hair. Like overnight, you lose all the hair you're going to lose in one sitting. It's daunting.
No, but see, I had a reason though. A month before I turned 17, I was diagnosed with acute promyelocytic leukemia.
Oh, man.
And and it was actually December 26th. So it was over Christmas break. So I never went back to school after Christmas break.
Wow. That's intense.
So they rushed me in and did all the things that you do when you're in that situation, got high dose chemotherapy.
Much like my baldness happened to me when like a puddle of hair, did you just woke up and you were not feeling well? Like, what is the, because yeah. I'm always curious. I had a friend who just is getting over, he went in for cancer. He had, what kind was it? He had like throat cancer. And mm-hmm. then they found some other cancer. He beat one and they found another. And he only got it because he was doing a routine follow-up. They're like, oh, you got some cancer down here too. And it's just like, it's just such a lingering, lurking, you know, specter. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with leukemia is tough because it's cancer of the blood. So things were happening that were pointing in that direction, but we had no idea what they were. So I was very tired. I had headaches. I wasn't hungry ever. But the big one, which our pediatrician should have caught but didn't, was I was covered in bruises.
When he just assumed you're from a terrible family.
She got in another fist fight.
Everybody raises their kids differently.
Yeah. They took me away from my parents that day. Yeah. I was covered in from head to toe in bruises. And our pediatrician's like, oh, maybe it's low iron. Maybe she has mono, which both of those things, I don't think. I'm no doctor, but I don't think those result in bruising. But
have you been kissing boys? You're bruising up.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, after Christmas, go get your blood checked. We'll see. We waited probably a little too long, and then we went in the day after Christmas, and they were like, get her in the hospital right now. Like, I was like 2 days away from calling it. So
that terrifies me, because I just postponed, full disclosure, my colonoscopy, because in LA, every third week is a lockdown week here.
Yeah.
And I was just freaked out. It's like the timing was right in that sweet spot after Thanksgiving. So I was just like, and I even asked the nurse, I was like, would you come in? She's like, well, nope. do you have any other options?
Well, you don't need to wear a mask on that side, so I don't see what the problem is.
That's true. But I have that fear of like, oh my God, if I wait if I wait another month, that's when it, you know.
Right. Yeah, happen. It's scary. It is scary. So, yeah. I mean, we caught it and we went for it with the treatment. But then I went bald.
And being a 17-year-old and you're bald, and you said you weren't going to school at the time, though?
Right. I didn't go back to school until senior year, until the following year. I got to see friends here and there. I think I visited my school once during that time. I had a wig. I did have a wig.
Okay. You rocked a wig.
Ooh, what was your wig?
It was really cute. So, you know, as you can tell, I have curly hair.
Listeners, she has curly hair. We'll describe it to them. Curly hair.
And every person I know who has curly hair wishes they had straight hair. So I was like, now's my chance. And got the coolest little straight short wig I could find, and I rocked it for 8 months until this started growing back.
Oh, man. Were you disappointed when the curly hair started growing back in?
Yeah. They said sometimes your hair really changes.
Oh, right.
So, I don't know if you know how this works. So you get chemo and then your hair falls out and then your body gets healthy again and it starts to grow back. Mm-hmm. But then they give you chemo again and then your hair falls out. And so it just keeps happening as long as you're getting chemo.
It's like over microwaving something. Your hair is just like, what?
It changes form.
Yeah, it dries it out.
Yeah. One of the times it was coming back, I was like, ooh, it's looking straight. let's do this. And then they gave me chemo again, and then it just came back this frizzy mess.
Like, oh my God. You like the middle hair. Yeah. Your second of three hairs.
Right. Yeah, did you have that moment? It's like, can I? I'm good on the key. I don't mind a little leukemia.
I have beautiful, shiny, good hair.
I mean, this is like, you know, to be 17 and to lose your hair is terrible, but to be 17 and then face cancer is awful. Like, what? I can't.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what that was like, unless you sort of felt confident. I mean, were you given confidence by your doctors as to...
Not at first. I probably shouldn't have had confidence at first.
Well, your pediatrician sounds like you were really phoning it in.
At least I didn't have mono.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it was not easy, obviously. You know, the way I remember it, though, the hardest part was feeling so sick all the time and being home and being so tired all the time. I still got to talk to friends and see friends. I didn't mind that I wasn't really in school. I mean, but I think I took a lot away from it. I think I'm one of those odd people who, if you ask, I say, you know, my life is better because I had cancer. I feel like I'm really strong. I wrote my college essays from my hospital bed.
Wow. That's crazy.
And I had such a story, right? I'm like, I better get into Georgetown. Damn. So
they have to.
I milked that shit.
I do think you said, like, you're one of those weird people. I was like, I think the weird person would be like, they survived cancer. Like, I don't know. That's not a big deal.
You're
like, your gratitude level is real high.
Well, Lauren, you made several huge career switches in your life. And now, was the strength to do that powered by this experience in some way?
It was. So I had my senior year left of high school after I got better. And then I went off to Georgetown. And I majored in psychology and French. I'm not sure what one would do with those majors.
Bonjour.
Je t'étais. Good. Croyd.
You just wanted to analyze any French dicks that were like pulling shit on you when you go to visit over there.
No.
Yeah. I know what you're doing.
You're wrong. So I guess I didn't really know what I would do anyway, but I was always an actor, and I was like, you know, life is short. I know this firsthand. I'm not going to spend my life doing, you know, some boring office job. I'm going to go and do what I want to do. And that's that. And so I graduated from Georgetown in my senior year of Georgetown. At 7:30 a.m. in the morning, I would drive to Virginia and take bartending lessons.
Oh,
wow.
Prepare for life after Georgetown.
Prepare the life of an actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me practice carrying these plates across this room.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back, I'm like, oh my God. So after Georgetown, I became an actor, first in New York and then LA. I actually met Camille in New York. We met in New York.
At American Girl, right?
At American Girl. We were servers at American Girl.
Brian, do you know what this restaurant is? Hold on a second.
Wait, the American Girl, like the American Girl doll? So you were working in their cafe thing?
Camille and I launched the New York Store Cafe.
Then you are poison to so many parents.
They were poison to me.
Oh, God. I went down. My daughter's 13, and she went down that path for a while. And it was, I was like, this is genius. And also, screw you.
Honestly, it was incredible money, but it is so demoralizing.
You had to like serve coffee to dolls and shit, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, we would give little cups and saucers to the dolls who sat at the table with the girls. They'd be like, can you put lemonade in my doll's cup? I'm like, no, but you can. That's where I draw the line.
Yeah. Both sides of that experience are terrible because I think I invested probably like $1,000 in stupid things that she played with twice. You know, she like set them up and then walked away. I was like, great, next year you'll get a new one.
She's not like Camille and her sister, where they, every time we go to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, they bust out their American Girl dolls and start playing with them, even though they're adults.
Are you serious?
Yes. It's really strange.
And that would be how far into the relationship did that start to unveil itself?
Pretty early on.
Party, right?
Yeah, that's right. She brought her American Girl doll to a party. I was like, this is the one that's the one.
I know it's your birthday, but we do post an eliminated drink. Oh, my God.
Camille listens to an American Girl podcast right now. There's some podcast about it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I feel better about my circumstance then.
Okay. So you're working at American Girl.
Yeah, I've been working at American Girl. I met Camille. I decided I want to move to L.A. And they happened to be opening an American Girl place in L.A.
Yeah, that's right.
So I went there and I opened the American Girl Cafe.
You opened both coasts of American Girl. That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
And then shortly thereafter, I I'm pretty sure I remember having a breakdown and being like, I can't do this anymore. No,
I can't serve dolls anymore.
I quit. I was like deep depression. I'm like, I'm done. So I did something else while acting. And so I acted and then I produced for a little bit towards the end. And after almost 10 years, I was like, damn, that was 10 years. Life is too short to be doing this shit anymore. Because I was, you know, you guys know what it's like.
Yeah.
And audition after audition and no. And I was 28. My manager was like, you're getting pretty old for this.
Oh, wow.
That's brutal.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, what do you miss about acting? And then what do you not miss about acting?
I love performing. I mean, it's why we all get into it, you know? But right. I do not miss the crap. It's just, the whole business side of it.
It's pretty brutal.
It feels like sometimes it's like the amount of auditioning and effort and man hours you put in to get like one little thing. It's like I just spent like 2 days trying to make this tiny cupcake. Right. Just pop in my mouth and it's gone.
And then it's over.
Yeah. You know, it's just like in your kitchen's like decimated as a result. And you're like, this is proportional.
That's a funny analogy.
You know, I went to business school, and it was so gratifying because I forgot what it's like to put effort into something and then see a reward. So I would like study and I'd get an A.
Right.
Like, hey, this is this works.
I would need to work for hours on an audition and hours on another audition and just no. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah, totally. It's it must have been kind of scary to quit acting though, right? Because I would imagine, I mean, I threatened to get out of showbiz like once a week at least. And like and it's always like I feel like it reminds me of a bad relationship where it's like, but we've been together for 5 years.
Yeah.
I should get a payoff of like something from this. Right. You know?
You don't want them to move out because then you'd have to separate the CD.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's like, I'm a 65-year-old man going back out there again. Like it my skill set is the equivalent of like, I was like, I would be like a, I don't know, wildly out of shape guy trying to go out and date again or something.
Yeah. It was pretty much a low point. I moved back to New York and realized I had no marketable skills whatsoever. And so New York is not a cheap place to live either. So I moved in with my brother, who has a lot of marketable skills and a big apartment. And I was their nanny, their live-in nanny, while I applied to business school. Because that was my trick. I was going to go to business school and become a career changer. And then I'd have this like great story. Mm-hmm. Oh, I used to be in entertainment, but I left, and now I'm in the business world. You know, I had to have a story to do.
Yeah. This might be a weird question, but does being a cancer survivor come up as a part of your story, or is that just sort of a, like, do you keep that personal?
Oh, no, I don't. That's so not a secret. You know what? I might have used that in my grad essay, too.
I mean, it's I don't know how it would come up unless it was like the last thing you say during a job interview is like, by the way, I survived cancer.
Right before you go out the door.
I've been through a lot. If you want to give me
I served
job.
Dolls lemonade.
Yeah.
That's a bigger trauma. Really.
That's a bigger trauma.
No, it doesn't typically come up in business. I might have milked it again for the application so I can get into business school, but it does not get me promotions, unfortunately.
Yeah, unless there's like, well, do you consider yourself a survivor? Like, how would you be in a cutthroat environment? Like, oh, funny you mention.
Right.
I was bald at 17.
I was covered in bruises.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question, Lauren. You are married to a bald guy.
I am.
Camille is married to a bald guy. You guys are both roommates. You're both married to bald guys. Now, I asked Camille back when you guys were two 20-year-old, 20-somethings living in an apartment in LA together, would you stay up late at night drinking wine talking about how hot bald guys were? She said that was not the case. Is she lying?
No, I think I don't want to mess anything up between you guys, but no, we did not discuss that.
You didn't talk about how hot bald guys were. That's interesting. No.
We did drink a lot of $3 Chuck.
That's funny.
Was your husband bald when you met him?
Balding. I knew balding. Where he was going with it. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was his balding pattern?
I'd say about 15% more than you.
Okay. Right, okay. So he was pretty far into it.
He's pretty bald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you knew what was coming.
Now he's shaving it all off every 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get a glimpse of it in his family? Like, is his dad or brothers or anybody?
Well, no. I heard that his maternal grandfather, because that's where it comes from, right? Was bald. But I didn't meet his parents until much later, almost until when we were engaged. And I was actually the first person to meet his parents.
What? Really?
Oh.
What is that?
I didn't get, you know, anything. I didn't get to see.
Dang.
What was that?
Yeah.
Why were you the first one he ever introduced to his parents?
I mean, of course you'd want to. What?
It's too. Maybe, you don't have to answer that question.
No need to answer. It's too personal.
No, I'm kidding. I don't think he was ever really serious with anybody before me.
Oh, so you should be honored.
I was honored. It might have been a red flag too. I don't know.
Yeah.
His
parents are literal monsters. He was just ashamed. They lived in a cave and stuff.
It is weird. I have fucking my biological family is batshit fucking crazy. So I had to.
When did Camille meet them?
She met my mom maybe 2 years into us dating.
Oh, okay.
We went to a wedding in Minnesota and she met her.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It did not go well.
Oh, geez.
Talking Bald, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by FanDuel. Football is back. And the best bet you can make is downloading the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It doesn't matter if you're new to gambling or an old pro, FanDuel has something for everyone. And as an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you know your bets are safe. There's also never been a better time to use FanDuel, because right now, you'll get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. You can even turn a small wager into a big payday with a same-game parlay bet. Just sign up with the promo code Spotify to place your first bet risk-free on FanDuel Sportsbook. Download FanDuel today. 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, I'm Enrique Santos, co-host of the new podcast, SOS Cuba. As a proud Cubano, it's important for me to use my platform to inform others. That's why I'm teaming up with my friend, Telemundo journalist Jose Diaz-Balart, for a 6-episode show that explores the anti-government demonstrations in the communist-run island. We're discussing the history of our beloved Cuba, what led to the recent protests, and why people are calling for change. A group of special guests weigh in on what's next for our Comunidad Cubana, and what does U.S. involvement look like, and why the words Patria y Vida resonate so strongly at this moment. Listen to SOS Cuba as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a story that captivated the nation.
Two brothers and their sister are on the run from authorities tonight.
Three close-knit siblings known as the Dougherty Gang go on a 15-state crime spree evading police for 8 days.
Police say the trio have a stockpile of weapons.
Dylan, Ryan, and Lee Grace had nothing left to lose.
They're like modern-day Bonnie and Clyde.
Now, for the very first time, exclusive interviews with Doughertys from behind bars.
This call is from a federal prison.
My sister's the crazy one.
I was working at 2 different strip clubs doing a very large amount of drugs.
My brother's the muscle. The last time I spoke to my dad, he told me, look out for your little brother. Something I really took to heart. The youngest is the brain.
How far would you run for your freedom?
There's some things that you just can't take back. You've already started this party. You might as well have fun. And that's what we did.
Listen to the Dougherty Gang every Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Only on Bald Talk.
My girlfriend, I've been with her a year and a half now. She met my family because Lauren, you are presently in North Carolina. I am from North Carolina.
Ah.
She is from South Carolina, and her sister now lives in, I know, thank you. And she lives in Carrboro. So when I was back last year, when you could leave your home and do things, we went back there and we had sort of like a joint Christmas, and she met my sister and stuff. And I guess we had been dating at 3 months at that point or something. And I was just super psyched for them to meet her. And everybody's like, oh my goodness, that's so early. Are you sure? Like, they really, it felt like we were announcing that we were moving in or something, but it was just like, no, she's meeting my sister.
Here, I mean, we might as well.
I know. It's
not now, like, now let's wait a couple more years.
I don't know. This feels real fast.
To meet? Maybe that was it.
No, she was already out there. We met up. Like, she went to go see her family in South Carolina, and then she came north to be with her sister. And I was like, all right, let's just kind of meet up. But that being said, she has not met my daughter yet, which we keep trying to do.
Your girlfriend hasn't met your daughter yet?
No, because like we were going to do it after Christmas last year. And then, no, wait, we were going to do it this year because I did want to wait. Like it's
that's a big thing. Yeah.
It is a big thing. And it's kind of a big thing the longer, I mean, that's the unfortunate thing, the longer it, the older she gets, the more threatening she is, because she's 13 right now. So my girlfriend is terrified.
Your girlfriend's more scared than your
daughter. She really is just like, oh God, this is going to be. And I was like, I think it's going to be underwhelming, but there's something very threatening about an underwhelmed teenager. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Totally. Oh my God.
That thing. It's going to happen. But it kept getting thrown off by the pandemic. It just kept being like, all right, we're going to do it next. Oh my God, everything's locked up. Oh
stay
my God.
Inside. Stay inside.
So nuts. So, yeah. So your husband, he's doing okay as far as like waiting that long. Fine.
Yeah, it was good. But yeah, I did know that he would eventually be totally bald, and I was okay.
You were cool with that?
He has other marketable skills.
Yeah, I was already bald when I met Camille, so she knew.
Yeah,
she knew what she was in for, and I wasn't a hat wearer back then.
You weren't. I remember that.
Yeah, but I've since lived once a little while in LA. I was like, damn, I got to become a hat wearer
because. Is that because of the sun?
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's so crazy when you start to realize, like, oh, the top of my head is very hot. And that means it is burning.
That didn't really happen in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, now, I wouldn't notice it.
Lauren, this, I'm gonna make this about being bald because James Gandolfini was bald. Now, when you were an actor, you acted in The Sopranos, right? In the test stream?
How do you know that? Do you remember
that? Wow.
We talked about it at some point. Way back in the day. But
I was gonna bring up James Gandolfini in another way, or The Sopranos in another way. Yes, it was an early, I was just an extra. It was an early gig for me. And I was an extra on The Sopranos, and it was a great day to be an extra because every cast member was on set that day.
Oh, yeah, because wow. that's an episode where everybody's together in that dream.
It was
sequence,
a weird dream he was having, and so everybody was showing up. And I love the show, and so it was great, you know.
Yeah, everyone. They even brought like Furio back. I think was he in the shot?
I think
a bunch of people that had died or gone away were back for that. Yeah. So you got to meet like everybody.
Yeah, it was really cool. So I didn't have a line or anything, but I was. You could if you look in the crowd in one moment. You can see me kind of picking up. Mm-hmm. And that scene was with James Gandolfini. Now, what I was going to say before, though, was my wig that I got when I was bald.
Mm-hmm.
I got it on, now I don't know if you guys know Jersey at all, on Route 17 in New Jersey, which I haven't been on Route 17 recently, but in the 90s, it was crap.
Oh, really?
It's where Bada Bing was.
Oh, the real
strip,
place.
Yeah, it was like the exterior for the strip place on The Sopranos.
Oh, so okay.
That's, you know, you can go to see stripper after you've purchased a wig.
Yeah. Yeah, which a lot of gentlemen do. They buy a wig for their sick wives at home.
Well, then, yeah,
they want to go to the strip mall.
Toupee, maybe.
Yeah, get a toupee, put it on, then no one will know it's you in the strip club. You can pull it off anonymously.
That's insane. But you are now in Charlotte, North Carolina.
We are in Charlotte.
Which is my, which I know you probably knew moving there. It was my birthplace. I mean,
that's why we moved.
Yes, I assume so. A lot of,
I want to live where Brian Husky's from.
What is the genesis of Brian Husky? What part of town are you guys in?
We're in South Charlotte, a neighborhood called Montebello. I don't know if you know
it. I do know that. Yeah. I used to live near the Park Road Shopping Center. Do you know where? Yeah.
You know what? Really, Camille would love Park Road.
Oh, yeah. It's a good shopping center.
Yeah.
It's got this very mid-century modern feel to it.
It's like a big, long, extended strip mall kind of thing, you know. And nice. And at either ends are there are always grocery stores. So it used to be A&P, and then
Kroger.
Not Kroger. It was like Winn-Dixie, maybe at the other end.
Oh, Winn-Dixie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like a big part of my childhood was to walk up there, and it and so that shopping center where we lived. Where our house was adjacent to the farm area where my grandfather used to work at the dairy. And then we lived about 3/4 mile from my grandmother, which was across the street from where my grandmother had her general store. Her grandmother had her general store growing up. Yeah. So it's like all this generational Charlotte stuff, like right around where,
You know, there's only like 4 people from Charlotte. You're one of them.
I know. Once the banks came in there, it was like, ooh, what happened? Ugh, so gross. It got real gross.
I watched that with Murfreesboro, where Camille's from. It's like 10 years ago when I first visited it, it was like a small southern town. And now it's like endless hospitals and endless hotels.
Yeah.
And endless sort of suburbanization.
In Charlotte, it became banks, car dealerships, even more golfing, and then lots of reflective buildings. I just remember everywhere they're starting to build all these buildings, like in the late 80s, early 90s, that were just like this kind of like chrome and brass kind of exterior. And there's this one intersection that at like 4 or 5 o'clock, it was a death gauntlet, because it was just like looking into the sun. No matter, it just like it reflected off each building and stuff. And they had like,
I'm melting.
They had like city meetings. Like, how are we? Who approved this? This is crazy. So many car wrecks happened there and stuff.
Oh man,
I know, it's insane.
How do you like living in Charlotte, Lauren?
You know, we absolutely love it. Mm. And like 2.5 years ago, one, I never thought I'd say I'd live in the South, and two, I never thought I'd say I'd love it. But it's been really great. It's a really good place to raise kids.
Oh, that's nice.
We found our little, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, oasis of liberals.
Hey, this is a Republican.
Hey, man, listen.
We're bald, of course.
Ben Shapiro is a big supporter of this show.
He loves this show. He's going to shave his head so he can come out.
Yeah, we found so many. Actually, everybody, that's why I said nobody's from Charlotte, because everybody we've met is from like the Northeast or Chicago.
Right.
And we met amazing people, and there's a lot to do, and the weather is a lot better than New York.
Yeah.
And it's a lot cheaper than the property taxes we were paying in New Jersey. And,
Dude, if I sold my teeny house here in Los Angeles, it's insane what I could get back in the South.
Oh, it's wild. Me and Olivia were just talking about this before we started recording.
Oh, yeah.
We're looking for a house to buy a house in Pasadena. And, you know, they're like around everything's around $1 million.
Yeah.
And We were on Zillow and we looked at New Orleans, because that's where like half of Camille's family is from and we love it. And you can get like a mansion for like $300,000.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, should we just move to New Orleans? I mean, everything's on Zoom anyway now. So
I know. I've definitely during this pandemic, I've been like, you know what? Maybe just do voiceover from another place.
Totally.
I'll tell you, my husband's an actor.
Right, I was going to ask.
We would not have moved. One of the things we obviously looked for was, can he still act if we're here? Because he's a graphic designer too. But we looked into it, and there's this huge Southeast market here that encompasses like, you know, Atlanta, New Orleans, parts of South Carolina. And people make really, you know, it's sort of like a big fish, small pond thing. Because especially if you're coming from LA and New York.
Yeah.
Great livings. He's gotten way more auditions here than he did when we were in New York.
So really? they do casting for stuff that's shooting down in like Atlanta and Wilmington and stuff.
Yeah.
That's great.
this episode's going to end with Brian moving back to Charlotte.
Coming back home.
Yeah.
That's great. That's cool. You can still act.
Yeah.
That's but awesome.
When we were, you know, we kind of like picked Charlotte out of a kind of a Google search.
That's funny.
So I wasn't like, oh, I really, you know, someday hope to move to Charlotte, North Carolina. We were just totally overwhelmed with being in the Northeast for various reasons. And you know how there's those those articles that come up, they're like, oh, you know, buy a house in Italy for €1.
Right. Right. You
know?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm texting with him. I'm like, oh, we should just do this and get out of here. And he's like, don't tempt me. And I was like, well, what if it were somewhere else? And he's like, well, I'm listening. What? And I did a Google search. It was like high quality of life, low cost of living. And I'm like, woohoo, North Carolina.
Yeah. That's funny.
Do it. And we had friends here. So we kind of just picked up and left. And we haven't looked back. It's been a little nutty.
That's yeah. How long have you lived there for now?
2.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are your kids developing Southern accents?
No, because I've learned, and maybe you can confirm this, Brian. People from Charlotte really don't have Southern accents. It's when they're from
outside. Yeah, there's right. there's like a Southern softness to the bigger cities, you know, and it gets more twangy the more you know,
the further
rural you are and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, Brian. I every once in a while I catch a little hint of a Southern accent.
Yeah,
hardly ever.
I never. People are always like, "You're from the South." Yeah, and when I get around other Southerners, it definitely starts to come out and stuff.
You and Hubes were getting pretty Southern on that episode that we're not supposed to talk about. Yeah, we don't know what to look about. That for some inexplicable reason I'm bringing up again.
Yeah, that we're just speculating might happen or might not. We don't know. But when I moved away from there, I was bummed out that people didn't recognize me as being from the South. They're like, really? You're from the South? But I did. I do have one memory that I still overcompensate for how I was like humiliated in this. It was an early improv class, like level one. And it was that cocktail party, you know, where you just like,
stand in duos and conversations go back.
Yeah.
And
you sort of overhear each other. And I said, pen instead of pin. I was like, oh, that's a lovely pen. They're like, what? I was like, that's a lovely pen. They're like, what do you, I don't know what you're saying.
So whole, are you calling me a pen?
The whole thing was like making it. And so from then on, I was always like, can you pass me that pen? I have 10 cents. I was always over pronouncing it constantly.
Yeah. You went to a British accent. As far away as you could.
Are you Boston British? I don't know who you are.
Pen.
Pen.
When Camille goes home, when we go to Tennessee, it's like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, boom. Camille has a foreign Southern accent. Yeah.
Oh man.
Hey y'all, how you doing?
She has her little twang anyway.
Yeah, totally. Day,
yeah.
Oh man. I love a Southern accent though.
Oh, dude, me too.
Except for, I mean, it is a little tough when they're like, that gets a little jarring.
Okay. Don't understand what you're saying.
Well, that's so funny. My daughter. Ooh, what does that mean? My
Chinatown,
daughter,
baby.
Oh, no. My daughter.
This episode's about cancer.
I just watched that recently, so that hit home with
Todd,
me.
Edit this out.
When we went home to South Carolina, where a large majority of my family is, we would go to the grocery store and, you know, I'd say, go ask her where they have the so-and-so. And she kept coming back and like, I don't know what they're saying. I can't understand the words. I'm trying so hard, but it just doesn't sound like words. And I was like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's okay. And if you're from South Carolina and you're listening,
oh, I love South Carolina.
You got problems.
Charleston is the shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. We won all those people back.
Good save. we lost some Southerners, but they came back. Do you go back to Jersey a lot, Lauren?
When there's not a global pandemic, yeah.
What a bummer.
This is okay. So our podcast is called Bald and Pandemic Lockdown Jamboree. We always talk about it. But what is it like in Charlotte? Like, are people
so you know how North Carolina was almost blue in the last election, but it ended up being red.
Yep.
And there's lots of spots of blue and lots of red. That's kind of like what it's like with the mask situation. You know, for the most part, in most places, everybody's complying and you're like, okay, we can do this. But then you'll go somewhere like we went to a zoo near Asheboro right after Thanksgiving. And the reason we chose that zoo is because they were requiring masks, unlike the zoo in South Carolina, which everybody usually goes to, which is not requiring masks. And we go, and most people are doing it, little kids, masks on, and then sure enough, a couple of groups of people, you know, just traipsing through, no mask on, eating their popcorn.
Oh,
I'm like,
my God.
Yelling at the kids, I'm like, if you see somebody without a mask, you stay away from them. You don't want coronavirus. I'm like, okay, Mom. So for the most part, it's pretty good. But then you get the, you know, I don't know, anti-maskers. I don't know what they're called. But they're still, they actually last night, they just announced that schools are going to be remote again for another month.
Oh, man. I've been here all my friends with kids. You guys' kids are kind of around the same age, right? Lauren, you're like, yours are like 10 and...
They're 4 and 6.
4 and 6.
Oh, yeah. Like
crazy and crazy. Yeah.
Like, how are they going to remember this? You know? It would be so weird to be a kid during this, I feel like.
They're really confused, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like that age range is kind of like, it'll be a weird, murky version of like what happened. But I think about my daughter being 13 when it's sort of like, this should be, you should really be ramping up just me being anxious about you going out and with your friends, you know, but it's sort of like, I'm more anxious about like, just please stay home, just stay locked up and hidden away. And she's really good. Like I've heard her. Like they were talking about Christmas exchanging gifts and stuff. She's like, well, so we're on lockdown. So I think what we'll probably do is like just drop it off and I'll let you know when we've driven away and you can come out and get it, you know.
Your daughter sounds very mature.
She's gotten very mature during
every,
this.
Pretty much every story you tell about her, she sounds pretty mature, except for when she blatantly insults you to your face.
But that takes a level of maturity.
Right, actually. Yeah.
She sees me do that in my job all the time. So
I feel like socializing for teenagers must be so hard. You know, my kids are.
It's so crazy. Like, if we did not have this Zoom option and FaceTime option, I think she would be insane. I think she'd be like losing her mind, and I would be losing my mind too. But so my screen time sort of like policy is out the window because if she,
you can't enforce that.
No way. Like if she hangs out with her friends for 2 hours, I mean, she walks around with her phone in her hand, and so she's kind of hanging out with her friends. I'm like, great, I don't care. That's fine.
Yeah,
do it. Just keep your brain tight.
All aboard talk.
Peace to the planet. I go by the name of Charlemagne the God. My mama calls me Lenard McKelvey. See, I thought I just had a face for radio, and some good white people at Comedy Central gave me a new TV show called The God's Honest Truth. Won't God do it? And you know they couldn't contain my blessed, black, and highly favored ass to just 30 minutes once a week. Nope, I'm delivering extended sermons straight into your ears like a dollar store Q-tip. Plus, the check already cleared so I can say whatever the hell I want. Like, cracker ass cracker. See? Listen to The God's Honest Truth on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I am Rashawn McDonald, the host of Money Making Conversations podcast. Yes, I speak to celebrity CEOs and industry leaders, and yes, they do tell me the secrets to their success. And I help secure amazing guests on my show because I got relationships, including Tyler Perry, Stephen A. Smith, Lonnie Love, Cedric the Entertainer, Patti LaBelle, Nick Cannon, Angela Yee, and many more. And my background is a 2-time Emmy Award-winning producer, sitcom writer, and stand-up comedian. So if you want to be successful in life, this is the podcast for you. Each week, I remind you to lead with your gifts in order to build your success story. And you never know, my next celebrity might be you. And those conversations will always be with CEOs, entrepreneurs, and industry decision makers on this podcast. And the podcast name, Money Making Conversation. This is Rashawn McDonald. Listen to Money Making Conversation on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Strawberry Spring, based on a short story by Stephen King.
Is someone there? I can't see you through the fog. Oh, it's you, thank God. Oh, please! No, 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 don't! Help!
Now, there was a murder on the campus of New Sharon College. Sources close to the investigation tell us that it was a female co-ed, late teens to early 20s. We'll have more.
Hello?
Henry, have you heard the news?
Yeah, just now on the radio.
There was a murder on campus. It has all the signs.
Are you telling me?
We can't be sure, but as of right now, it looks like Springheel Jack is back.
Strawberry Spring, starring Garrett Hedlund and Milo Ventimiglia. Produced by Audio Up Media and iHeartRadio. Listen to Strawberry Spring on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking Bald, yeah!
I got one more. I got another Lauren topic. I want to talk about Italian food because Camille told me that you make the best Italian food in the world. And I love this. I know I'm not unique in this, but it's my favorite type of food.
Oh, I didn't know that, Charlie.
Oh, I love it. Love it.
Yeah, I love to cook. Actually, this was one source of anxiety I had about moving to the South. You know, when we were in Jersey, we were in Montclair right outside of New York before we moved here. And we had this great Italian deli like two blocks away. Mm-hmm. So we can get great bread. I can get the stuff I needed. I got my hot peppers and, you know, a meatball if I wanted it.
Yep.
And so we moved here and I was like, will I have supplies? You know, I need my supplies because I make a mean lasagna. And
yeah.
A good sauce, gravy, as they say. But, you know, we moved here and for the most part, I've been able to find everything I need. There's a Italian store here that everybody knows about that has, you know, all the staples, but we can't find great bread easily.
Oh,
it's just,
yeah.
People will be like, oh, you know, such and such a place has great bread. I'm like, you don't know what
you're talking about. That's so true. Like Southern standards for bread are pretty lax. You know, they're good at cornbread, but then other stuff is like, it's white bread. That's white bread.
You can't dunk bunny bread into some good Italian
gravy. I'm not defending my sauce. So because we couldn't find good bread, I've become a master bread maker. And so I've way before everybody in quarantine.
Before it was trendy.
Yeah, everybody's like, look, I have a no-need bread. I'm like, I need my bread. And so now I have some nice bread to go with my sauce.
That's good. Cool. Yeah. Do you do the Feast of Seven Fishes at Christmas Eve?
I don't because I don't like that many types of fish.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to try and do it. Our version of it is best you could do it in LA at for
you
this
put
Christmas
sushi
season.
In there if you could do that.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea. Yeah.
You could also do just seven brands of tuna, just different cans.
Right.
Just let's compare which can of tuna.
They're all watery and kind of dry. But is that literally so you just have seven fish courses? Seven fish
not
options?
Not necessarily courses, but you incorporate seven different kinds of fish somehow into the meal. So my aunt does like a ceviche, so she'll knock out like three of them or four of them in there. And
Right. And then you have like a pasta. Calamad. Yeah.
Do goldfish count? Like the kind of crackers?
The crackers.
Throw those in there? Yeah.
Yeah, totally. That's the LA version.
Wait, I want to go back to husband actor Bald. How has that ever been issue for him? Was he ever like, I don't know, maybe I should do something? Or is he just like, this is my look?
No. Oh God. No. If he ever tried to do something, there would be no
more.
That'd
be it. Game over.
That would be terrible. But you know what he struggles with? And maybe this is you tell me if this is the thing or if this is just him, but he either wants like all or nothing. So like if it starts to grow in and he can, and he has like the thing.
Mm-hmm.
The ring, the shape, the pattern,
the male pattern baldness.
Yeah, at the top, then he freaks out, and he's got to shave it off. He doesn't want that on camera.
Right.
Mm.
He's meeting somebody new. He does not want that scene. And
the bozo.
So I don't ever notice. He's like, look at how long my hair is getting. I'm like,
that's my total thing. I'm just like, oh my God, I look like a hippie. You're like, no, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe you're picking a professor.
You're indicating there's a slight breeze in the house, but that's about it. Nothing else.
Yeah. So he's really into keeping it tight.
Does he bick it?
What?
Does he bick it? Like, shave it with a
shave it down.
Oh, bick it.
The terminology, really.
Once this podcast blows up, that's going to become a popular term.
T-shirts.
No, he's got that electric.
The shaver thing, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, if it's too clean, he looks funny. He kind of looks like powder.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not cute.
He's got to leave a little head stubble.
He's got to leave like a 5 o'clock shadow.
Is he more of a dramatic or comedic actor?
No, like... he's like a character actor. He's played every cop and FBI agent, you know, known
right.
man. And some doctors too.
So he's a blend of me and Husky, because Husky is the doctors and et cetera, and I'm always the cops.
Yeah. He does both. He's usually an investigator, though.
So okay. Yeah, I'm a uniform cop. They've never put me in a suit jacket.
That's right.
The dumb guy that's supposed to, like, chalk a body or whatever.
Yeah, investigators, detectives and stuff. Or FBI guys. So it'd be
That's a cool role.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so you coach him on his auditions?
Yeah, well, now the world knows. So, yeah. well, the cool thing about auditioning down here is that it's exclusively self-tape.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, and I know it's become that, obviously, with the pandemic for other places, but they only ever do that.
Oh, I have no idea.
And so it's good because he gets as many takes as he wants. And he'll do it, and I'll be like, no. Okay. That moment in the beginning.
I find that very helpful, the self-tapes I've done where Camille, like, essentially coaches me. You know. But because if you're self-taping by yourself, it's just like, I don't know if this is fucking good or not, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And then at least you're not, you know, giving that to a casting director.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, this is crap.
I'm such a horrible auditioner. I'm so bad at it.
I don't like self-taping. Like, I found a guy, I found this service that you, like, do it through Zoom and stuff. And so now he's just call me up because he says, like, I'm so tired of encountering really bad acting, and it's nice to work with somebody who knows sort of what they're doing, you know. but I just hate not going in. I don't know what it is. Like, I think I like kind of like driving somewhere and being nervous about it and then seeing the person and getting their feedback and stuff. It just feels like I'm in a vacuum doing it self-tape, you know.
I've found that I've done a little bit of pitching over Zoom since the pandemic started. And the really weird part I realized is that the drive was always when I amped myself up. Like, you're driving there, I'm like blasting Dr. Dre, being like, you're gonna fucking pitch, sell this motherfucker. And when it's on Zoom, you're just like, oh, I'm there.
Yeah. I'm gonna walk across the room.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna
listen to 10 seconds of Dr. Dre.
Jog around the block or something.
Yeah. There's, like, so much. There's so much so to sweaty. Just like. Yeah. Well, again, podcast is about pandemic. So, but it is like, there's just something about going outside of your environment, you know, just the energy shift that happens. So when pandemic is over, I want you guys to lobby the Charlotte acting community and say, look, we got to come into some room. I don't care where, you know, just go in live and do these auditions.
I don't think Adam might never work again. I don't know.
I don't care. You have to be the Norma Ray of auditioning down there.
Bring it home. Well, Lauren, it has been lovely to see you, and we're very psyched to have you on the podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me.
Lauren, it helps people to who are experiencing it or on the brink of it or, you know, in the middle of it. Did you have any insights when it all went? Like, do you have anything to share as, like, once it's gone, you're like, it's not that bad? Or just any wisdom from your brief time of without hair?
Yeah, you know, once you get over the literal trauma of pulling out your hair in handfuls, I noticed I had a really cute little head.
Yeah.
You know, I even have a birthmark, like a little freckle on my head. Like, I would never have known.
That's interesting.
It's not that bad. And you know what? With at least for a girl with some mascara, your eyes can really pop. So
great.
That's good advice. Yeah. And you can pick out a wig that really, you know, gives you the hair you want to have. That's what one of the other ladies we had on talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can totally like Orphan Black it and just become a master of disguise.
You can be someone new every day.
Yeah. Every day.
I would totally do that. Not that I don't want that again, but if I had to, it would be every day. It'd be a new look.
A new look.
Cool. Well, thank you, Lauren. And say hey to Charlotte for me.
Okay? Oh, I will. Maybe
I'll see. Camille says hi.
Cool.
All right.
Now, Charlotte, before you do this big thing, remember afterwards, I'm going to say something about the Twitter account.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I'm not fully closing it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Copy but that. But Todd, and again, it's important we leave everything in here. This is to our editor. Right. Todd, leave this part in too. Okay.
Anytime we stumbled over each other. All right, that was Lauren Spagnoletti. Baldies and Harrows, thanks for listening. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Bald Talk Pod. Download us, rate, review, listen, subscribe at the iHeartRadio app or on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. And now Brian's going to talk about Twitter.
Listen, guys, there's a platform on social media called Twitter. If you find yourself there, go to Bald Talk Podcast, not Bald Talk Pod. Podcast, Bald Talk Podcast. That's on Twitter. We will post links to the shows. We'll post pictures. We'll post, incendiary political things, maybe, and alienate a large base of our audience, maybe. But yeah, follow us on those things and shave your head.
Someone to talk to. Brian and Charlie have a hairless party, and they are all there to invite you. No hair juice, no shampoos, interviews, only on Bald Talk.
Hey guys, this is Maddie and Kenzie Ziegler, and we have a podcast called Take 20. We want to kick back and hang out with you, but we know you're busy, so let's take 20 every week to talk, to vent, to get real. 20 minutes to catch up and talk about everything that's on our minds and yours. Listen with us for 20 minutes when you're in the car, putting on makeup, working out, cleaning your room, avoiding doing your homework. Take a break from whatever you have to do and hang out with us. Listen to Take 20 on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I am Rashawn McDonald, the host of Money Making Conversations podcast. Yes, I speak to celebrity CEOs and industry leaders, and yes, they do tell me the secrets to their success. And I help secure amazing guests on my show because I got relationships, including Tyler Perry, Stephen A. Smith, Lonnie Love, Cedric the Entertainer, Patti LaBelle, Nick Cannon, Angela Yee, and many more. This is Rashawn McDonald. Listen to Money Making Conversations on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know there are thousands of active cults in America today?
Political cults, sex cults, acting class cults, terrorist cults.
To name a few. But do you ever wonder, who are the individuals who get manipulated into them? I'm your host, Liz Iacuzzi.
I'm Tyler Meesom. Was I in a Cult is a documentary podcast showcasing the raw, dynamic, and inspiring firsthand stories of individuals who got in.
And most importantly, got out of a cult.
Why are people so obsessed with cults?
Maybe because it could happen to anyone.
And we should know.
Because it happened to us. Listen to Was I in a Cult? Every Wednesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.